Okay. Hi, everybody. I've been running into the other room. One of the worst things is when you realize that you've been working along and have no video, have no picture. Well, now we do. And that's always a little piece of advice to myself. We're working on program number 38 in the externalization. It's March 3rd. We're on page 383. And we've been looking at four foundational activities in which those who want to help with the reconstruction can and should engage. They are really supportive of the whole process. That sense of individual responsibility. As small as we are, we do have something to offer, and other people can be brought into that method of thought. And then the expression of real love in service rather than emotion and desire and sudden unpleasant reaction to seeing very negative things. That's not necessarily really love. The reorganizing of the life so as to get the utmost out of every day. And that will show us whether we really want to work in this reconstruction work. There's still much reconstruction to offer to various countries, even now, and there's so much poverty. When you see people eating from the garbage heap, you know that something has to be done. And the fourth point would be develop goodwill in oneself and evoke that spirit of goodwill in others. And then the the whole idea is you can begin working right where you are, you know, and with the people near you. That's what DK has been telling us, that we don't have to stretch ourselves into unknown territory immediately. We can, within our homes and immediate environment, begin to work with those we can easily contact. Then he begins to add a few more things to it. I talked about those, but there was no picture, you know. So coming back, he says, these are the first four steps, and they are perhaps the most difficult, for they are non-spectacular and almost, and unavoidable preliminaries for the man who wants to work wisely, usefully, and intuitively in the future. So almost, I think the "and" doesn't belong there, almost unavoidable preliminaries. Okay, then we go on to adding to these four additional possibilities. We have to impose a program upon ourselves, and every true disciple has a life program, and it will take discipline. So the very first thing is to study and reflect upon the many proposals which are being made by world leaders and thinkers as to the coming world rehabilitation. That's the very first of the additional efforts and activities to be added to the foundational four. And he says it will be necessary to plan your reading and to know what is being discussed. Cultivate an intelligent opinion based on goodwill and on what you, as a result of study, feel should be done. Then discuss the ideas in your home, among your friends, and in your environment without fear or favor. It will help you to do so if you regard such discussions as a service and believe that your interest and enthusiasm cannot help but cannot fail to have effect. Okay, so that's one factor, something we can do now. You kind of ask, you know, do we need to do this now? Well, we certainly have the means these days of reaching out to many, and we have to invite people in to our discussions. Then number two, if possible, gather people together to discuss and study the coming world order, or cooperate with those who are already doing so. Now, the coming world order is not yet with us, and so it's certainly possible for us to discuss the new world order. There's much rehabilitation that has to be accomplished. So many people in various countries do not have the bare necessities to live. That is really being fought out now. The year is 2019, and a young person has appeared in our Congress, and she's a real dynamo, and she says, you know, it is the right of everybody, not just a gift, but the right of everybody to have the necessities of life. I don't know, but I predict that one day she will be the president of the United States. So look upon this meeting together as a definite contribution to the molding of public opinion, and as a method of building up that reservoir of thought power which can be of use to those whose task it is. to rebuild. So this is looking forward to the rebuilding. Now, we're in very critical times, and it's only later with the release of atomic energy, and in this book, maybe 100 pages later, that DK actually discusses how it was that behind the scenes and due to esoteric causes, the United Nations won the war. I expected to see it here. So far, I don't see it, but I did see it in, keep going ahead, another 100 pages. If only two people cooperate with you in this matter, you know, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. The idea that the Christ put forth, that he will respond when people are gathered in his name. Of course, what does it mean to be gathered in his name? It has a lot to do with motive, doesn't it? So if only two people cooperate with you in this matter, the effort will not be lost or futile, for you will be helping to change the content of world thought and impressing other minds, even if you do not know it. You kind of wonder about the work of Blavatsky and Olcott, you know. They had each other, and it was extremely difficult task they had, and their relationship was often difficult, and they didn't have a third party, but they accomplished so much in the founding of the Theosophical Society and you know, in the writing of the secret doctrine. Then the third point, added to the foundational four, extend your interest to many countries and try to understand the diverse problems of those countries too. And I've been doing that. You know, we've covered maybe 100 countries in broadcasts, and there's about 100 more. So many countries have emerged, and so many are in the beginning stages, just having to get the means of living together. And many are challenged by poverty and adverse weather conditions, and by hostility within and without. Nation building, you know, is a great strain, and often, you know, very dangerous to those who undertake it. But people are forging ahead. Many know people in these foreign lands, and how much easier it is now to do that. I mean, you put up a subject on the internet, and before you know it, you've got people attracted to it from all over. The lists can be made of the names and addresses. Things moved slowly in those days, but they had to be done. What a great contribution the sort of third ray, fifth ray group has made to our communication, technology, and reaching, working in the net or the network, a symbol of the third ray. As soon as the war is over and the lines of communication are again open, you can seek to reach these people, attempt to locate them through any available agencies, and then when found, strengthen them with the knowledge of your goodwill or interest, and by cooperating with them during the period of reconstruction. You can see that this group to which Master DK was talking had a heavy load if they were to carry forward what he intended. No matter how slight has been your contact with them in the past, foster it by thought and prayer, and later by direct communication. Foster it. Thus, a great network of relationships will be set up. Now, you know, 80 years later, it's so easy to do that. I'm hearing of webinars or, you know, mass meetings with thousands of people. Extraordinary, you know. So things are reaching a climax, really. Thus, a great network of relationship will be set up, which will serve to weld a new world into one harmonious and understanding whole. And that is our possibility. Now we're continuing to add to the foundational four factors for the workers following the war. And he's keeping us, let's imagine we're there, he's keeping us afloat in these dire days of the war. I guess this was August 1942. I thought it was September, you know, I apologize for that. But I don't think it pays to go back and try to eliminate all those references. Of course, it included September. But there were some months, he tells us later, 4 months or so, when hierarchy just didn't know how humanity could avoid defeat. September, October, November, December 1942. And then, as they say, when the sun moved northward, we'll get to that, but when the sun moved northward in 1942, in the winter in the Northern Hemisphere of 42, they knew that the forces of light had triumphed. How they knew, we don't know. Maybe we can piece that all together. The war was not won by the surrender of Germany. That was just an effect of the inner victory. And I suppose in Japan as well. Okay, pray constantly, and to your prayers add meditation and reflection. Pray constantly. This is a master who's teaching meditation, but he knows just as Jesus prayed and the Christ prayed, prayer is extremely powerful and is not to be overlooked because, you know, some people will say, well, this is not the mental approach. No, pray constantly. Behind the world patterns and structures stands its originator, its planner, its motivating energy. Notice all these capitals. Its central will, its living creator, its God. That's powerful. Behind the world pattern is this deity. And maybe the deity can be reached. Seek by prayer to reach that central will, everyone capitalized, and point of life, thus blending yourself with the sense divine objective and identifying your will with the divine will. Seek to do this. And when we have objectives that have to work out in today's world, this is good advice. this central will to good, you know, calling the planetary logos the will to good, this central will to good can be reached by the man whose own will to good, in smaller letters, is a living, practical experience, and the more that goodwill is expressed, the more easily will you discover and cooperate with the divine plan and follow the guiding hand of God in world affairs. So he's given a name, enough names so that anybody can relate to it. Some people don't want to use the name God. They call it the G word, you know, but if the master can use it and we will know what he means, then we certainly don't have to shun that word. Yeah. The real work of reconstruction will be done by those who, in the silence of their own hearts, have walked with God and learned his ways. DK is so flexible, do you notice, that he can speak to any type of mind, it seems. The people who are more technical, the people who are more aspirational, either line, the 246, the 1357, he can address either one. So this central will to good, and let's call it IE, the planetary logos, can be reached by the man whose own will to good is a living, practical experience. And the more that goodwill is expressed, the more easily. So, you know, goodwill reveals, I guess is what he's saying. The more it is expressed, the more easily you will discover and cooperate with the divine plan and follow the guiding hand of God in world affairs. This is a type of perception, fostered by goodwill. And goodwill will lead us to the will to good. Okay, let's go on. Find two other people to work with you. There is a unique potency in triple relationship. God himself, so says all the world scriptures, works as a trinity of goodness, the good, the beautiful, and the true, and you can, in your tiny sphere, do the same, finding two other people of like mind with you to form a goodwill triangle of light and spiritual interplay. Well, okay, this has to do with the triangle's work, which is so emphasized. And we have a responsibility to keep that work going, and maybe in very special projects, however, we can find a triangle that really will lead to the achievement intended regarding those projects. Each of the two who cooperate with you can, in their turn, do the same, and thus a great network of goodwill can spread throughout the world, and through it the forces of light will be able to work, and you in your place and sphere will have aided and helped. You know, so let's just say so much encouragement is offered here to offset the possible sense of smallness and futility. Okay. So what else is added to the foundational four? Find out and study the methods, techniques, and objectives of the various groups and organizations which are interested in world reconstruction. Well, we're still there. The world has been commercially reconstructed for many, but in terms of the will to good, goodwill, the morality of man, the care of human beings for each other, not yet. Not completely by any means. Something terrible right now is happening in Venezuela. The year is 2019. Countries whose livelihood is tied to one commodity, in this case oil, can go down quickly if that commodity suffers deflation. And it brings out the motives of the people. Do the leaders simply want to hang on to power, or do they care about their people? You may not agree with all of them in terms of their methods of reconstruction, with their plans and modes of work, but all are needed. The types of men are many, the races and conditions are varied, and the problems to be solved will call for innumerable ways of working. All can play their part if based on real goodwill and if fanaticism is absent. The fanatic is a danger wherever he is found, for he sees only one side of a question and is unable to appreciate the various points of view. He will not admit that all are needed. Cooperation is the key to express goodwill. And in the future period of rehabilitation, cooperation will be the outstanding need. I think, you know, that's something we can always register as true. Keep a record of all such groups, their leaders, objectives, and programs. It will prove useful when the war is over. Establish helpful and friendly relations with them to the best of your ability. The types of men are many, and the races and conditions are varied, but the problems all call for, you know, innumerable ways of working, and not emphasizing that your way is the only way, and avoid fanaticism. Okay, well, you know, such practical advice. Do this, carry this out, and the tangible rehabilitation of humanity following the war can be a success. Okay, number 7, find and keep a record also of men and women of goodwill in your environment. Be spiritually aggressive in this matter. Go out and discover them, and when you have found them, then be interested in what they are doing, and also endeavor to have them cooperate with you in your line of activity. It's not just that you seek to call people into your own court, emphasizing the value only of what you are doing, but to take an interest in their approach too. Keep a register of the names and addresses of these people. Just think of it, snail mail addresses instead of the instantaneous email. Keep a register of the names and addresses of these people, adding also their capacities and functions, if any, and thus build up a mailing list. You will then be aware of a group which can be depended upon to work in a spirit of goodwill and for world reconstruction. And when you think about all the obstacles in the methods that had to be used in those days, the slowness of it all, you know. Later, these lists can be amalgamated, if deemed desirable, and form a vast mailing list of people in every country who will work along these indicated lines and who could be reached simultaneously. Now, especially, it's simultaneous. Could be reached later. And maybe he foresees this computer revolution when he says that. They will form a body of synchronized public opinion, sufficiently strong to mold ideas, influence the masses, and aid the world leaders to right an appropriate action. It's work, isn't it? It is work to bring together those who can really help. But so much work of the outer, slow, laborious kind has been obviated by the computer revolution, I think we have no excuse to not engage in this kind of process when there is the need noticed, and indeed there is the need. Number 8, above everything else and growing out of all the above suggestions, plan definitely for the rehabilitation, physical, psychological, and spiritual of the children of every country. They have been the victims of wickedness. Let them be the recipients of loving goodwill instead. So this is maybe the climax of that which has to be done. Let's see. Do we have... No, there's another, number 9, and yeah, number 9 completes it. Of course, it is the concluding number. The problems of economic rehabilitation, of territorial boundaries, of the demobilization of armies. Yes, that's an important one, that the armies be treated with respect. They have in many cases defended the lives of those who could not defend themselves, and sometimes the opposite, of course. The problems of economic rehabilitation, territorial boundaries, of the demobilization of the armies and the subsequent re-employment of the demobilized and of world rebuilding are profoundly important and will call for expert aid. Yes, that is true. And we've seen it, you know, in Iraq, for instance, when one of the parties and the armies fighting on behalf of that particular party, was demobilized and formed actually a negative element against future progress, until they were properly incorporated. But the problem of the children, as earlier pointed out, underlies the whole necessity for world rebuilding, is greater than all the other problems, is above all racial and national barriers, and evokes the best in every human heart. The children have the prior claim upon all men. So we see exactly where he stands. And even today, when you see, 20,000 slave children, enslaved children on this lake in Ghana, they've been sold by their parents because the parents were so poor they couldn't keep them, and they've been sold into slavery. Slavery is hiding, and oftentimes not hiding. It's everywhere in this world. So, it is deeply problematic, you know, the child labor issue and whether children will be able to go to school, the question about whether girls will be educated or will be confined to a life that is simply subservient without education. These are big, big issues going on today, and they are hidden away in the more impoverished countries. I would therefore appeal to all whom I can reach through this article to concentrate their major effort, mental, spiritual, and practical, on preparing themselves to aid the children of Europe and the other countries which have suffered so much at the hands of the Axis powers. Well, there was a great battle and a revolution in China, you know, and in 1949, was it, Mao came into power and no doubt tackled some of these issues. But the thing about, you know, the first-ray disciples is there are many collateral casualties as they work. And that is, of course, the sad part, and so many suffered in his own cultural revolution. Work with the children of Europe. There was starvation in Europe too. How often I heard from my grandmother, when there was a question of possibly wasting food, how it was not allowed because of the starving children in Europe and in many other places. Major part of their effort will be concentrated on aiding the children. And in the book, The Problems of Humanity, the whole question of the children and their education comes up for important review. Excuse me. This will take much time and careful planning. It will necessitate enlisting the cooperation of trained experts in the field of child welfare, doctors, surgeons, nurses, psychologists, and educators. I guess the war bore down with particular ferocity upon the children who were helpless and could do nothing. It will require much money to make the preparation effective, to send a trained personnel into the destitute and ruined countries, and to carry forward the work whilst there. It will take also loving, compassionate action and long patience. It nevertheless constitutes the most important opportunity confronting the men and women of goodwill. It is the foundational activity of the New World Order. That order must be brought into being for the sake of the children today. Well, I'll just make this a slightly different color because we'll distinguish it from what went before. Is foundational. The foundational activity of the New World Order, for that order must be brought into being for the sake of the children today. So we understand how Master DK feels about the innocence, and how he would feel today. There are just heartbreaking pictures everywhere, photos of drought areas and famine areas, and mothers carrying their dead children. It's happening today too. So they will inhabit this new world, express the new ideals, and hand on to their children that for which we have fought and died. The best that we have inherited and all that we have succeeded in salvaging for them. The thought of the children in subjugated lands did not arrest the onward march of Hitler's soldiers. The sanctity of the home and the physical and moral needs of small children aroused no flicker of compassion in the young men trained under the Nazi system of education. The relationship of mother and child did not enter into the calculation of the German agents as they separated children from parents and set the child adrift in a world of carnage or in an institutionalized establishment. The planned cruelty must be remedied, and it must be remedied by the men and women of goodwill and loving hearts. Well, about some of these things, one may not have heard the full story. But we know that every compassionate reaction was schooled out of those in training for the SS and the youth corps of Germany, and anything else was looked upon as unworthy and effeminate. It was certainly an attack, and as we know, so many of the first-ray soul types occupy the role of the Black Lodge. They find their way in the Black Lodge. The first ray is emphasized there. And it is a first ray without mercy and without sensitivity. Someone like General Patton, he had both. He had this relentless power to move forward. Maybe as an old Roman commander, he believed in reincarnation and thought about those things, but he also had this incredible responsive sensitivity, and he could burst into tears at the slightest provocation. So the story about him. So, you know, when people just have the first and third ray and no second ray, no love energy, they are a menace and a danger. And really, they are heartless. Okay, now the ninth point. Begin to lay aside, no matter what the personality may demand, such small sums as can be spared and which can accumulate in preparation for world reconstruction. The way we handle our money today is different. You know, the cash economy is not what it was. And we handle a lot through credit cards and bank transactions and so forth. The money has gone into an electronic phase. But still, the idea is there. Lay aside small sums. And eventually, if we can all do this, he says, it will enable us to take our share in the work without placing an undue load on others. Will you see to it that this sacrifice and its resulting fund be preserved, if possible? Okay, you know, this was a little issue with the telephone call coming in. I'm sorry, got a little disoriented here. But to set aside and collect the small sums, and they will not place an undue load on others. And will you see to it, he says, that this sacrifice and its resulting fund be preserved inviolate, not used for anything else, in your own hands until such time in the future as you may choose to use it? Okay. So what I'm going to... We have had four foundational steps for those who wish to cooperate in the building, and nine additional very practical steps. 13 in all, and, you know, all of the most practical, in a way, concrete nature. So what I'll do, I will come back. I have to spend a little time on the phone here. And I will come back, and we will take care that this preparation is understood by us. We'll do that. Okay. Don't go away. It may be 5 years from now, but or 10 years from now, if you get this far, but don't go away. We'll be back here. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, friends, let's go on. I'm sorry that I receive some calls that have to be taken, and I'm having little senior moments wondering just where I am in this process. But here's an outline with four foundational activities for anyone that wants to work at rehabilitation. Well, we certainly, even now, have a world which has to be rehabilitated, and we have many selfish people in power. It seems like those who sometimes ascend to positions of power are not entirely psychologically normal. Why should that be? Maybe they are just so obsessed with gaining the power because of their deficiencies that the power struggle, the struggle for power attracts such people. But really, it must be the people of the world and the men and women of goodwill, and then the committed servers who take over the role from the power-hungry, selfish types who have much rehabilitation to be accomplished amongst themselves. You don't really get through that fifth petal, you know. It's a Leo-Scorpio petal, and right there you can see the signs of what might happen. If we turn to, let's see, you know, if we go to, there we go. I go to Esoteric Astrology and I turn to page 332. Oh, come on now. We'll see a mantram which is interesting in terms of Leo and Scorpio. Okay, now that's not going to work because this will work. 332. And of it, it will say that Leo seeks release in Scorpio. And we will have the blasted tower and death to the lower ego. That is release. And Scorpio stages the release of Leo. So in that fifth petal, a very wide range of activity occurs, all the way from the densest kind of selfish egotism to readiness for the first initiation and the taking of the first initiation even. One day we will know, I mean, you know, DK knows probably on the average how long it takes to unfold the various petals on the average. Of course, the time equation is so much in our own hands. And so probably only general figures can be given, only. Well, you know, this little section is going to end soon. These are the practical suggestions which it would seem possible to make at this particular time. You know, it leads directly directly to action. It is possible to prepare in the midst of war for a time when there will be no war, to make sure that success follows in that period following the war. And as we look ahead towards 2025, we certainly are attempting to prepare for it. It's only 6 years ahead. And then, you know, our minds may well turn to the fading out of the sixth ray and Pisces, and we may orient ourselves 100 years ahead to the technical beginning of the age of Aquarius. That's what we might do. But we will follow Master DK's guidance on that matter because he'll be writing, and the thing is, of course, to recognize his work when it again appears. So many theosophists just didn't recognize the work of Alice Bailey, though I have a feeling they were, many were closet readers of the Blue Books and, you know, read by night, so to speak. I mean, how can you miss that note, you know? But people can miss it if they are overly committed to a slight variation in that note, because the amanuensis through whom the teaching comes will add their particular color. The amanuenses will add their color. And Blavatsky was a very different energy system than Alice Bailey, for sure. So these practical suggestions he makes, and we adapt them to our time. The one thing we know is whatever time we're living in, you know, this is 80 years later, the phrase, "work, my brothers," rings in our ears. There is an overwhelming amount of work to be done. Of course, DK has said that we cannot measure our contribution on the basis of all there is to be done. We would be, you know, flattened if we tried to do that. So we have to judge of our capacity to do the work, judge of our capacity, and in comparison with what needs to be done, and do what is reasonable, or maybe a little beyond what is reasonable, but not so that we, he's always warning against it, not so that we shorten our term of service. There is a balance here, you know. So these suggestions, they are of a practical nature and basically individual. The whole scheme of rebuilding is as yet in the formative thought stage. And, you know, by 1943, it's coming up, the next writing, he went silent for a while there, you know. And actually, when we were, if one would be looking for writings, there were two years when he did not write to his students. He gave them enough to keep them busy. They were the most intense years of the war. I'm forgetting, was it 1942 to 44? I think so. It wasn't 40 to 42. Anyway, 2 years of silence when he had been writing a great deal to them, so, you know, sometimes every 6 months. And if these were letters to the headquarters group, articles particularly to mobilize them, then he was writing them very frequently indeed, but not the personal work, which basically was of less importance given the nature of the crisis. So these suggestions, basically individual. The process to be followed today is one of self-education and the awakening of all whom we can reach. Well, when we buy the books, you know, or the CD-ROM, we're let loose into the possibility of self-education. And many of us have been pursuing it for a long time. I'm trying to measure the years. Well, when it comes to theosophy, it is over 50 years for me, some 53 years and at the moment. And when in relation to the Bailey work, it's almost 50 years coming up. So many of us have dedicated ourselves to learning, but we must not flag, you know. It's possible to think, well, I've been at this a long time, and to sort of taper off without realizing how much we are missing by not continuing. This is an important factor in our assimilation of the work. To proceed without, as he says, without let up and without leeway. Proceed with that relentless quality that, believe it or not, is characteristic of the second ray. So we educate ourselves to a great extent, and especially when Master DK is no longer there specifically through an amanuensis to give specific instruction. It will demand the intelligent study and consideration of methods with which to meet this need, and the discovery of those who, irrespective of nationality or religion, can be depended upon to cooperate in the various phases of the work of reconstruction. And in this preparation, we can all share. Well, you know, the important thing now is to learn how they did it and to apply it to our particular circumstances. We cannot believe that the forces of materialism will simply give up because 2025 is coming. There are plenty of time. Well, there is plenty of time for a recrudescence of the obstructive energies. Now, you know, I don't think that the forces of materialism have an advantage at this time. They are, in a way, in terms of representatives, I think, outnumbered, because humanity has learned so much through the wars of the 20th century and through the attempted attack that is now occurring. Humanity is wiser about these things, and the intelligent forces are stronger. There are still many who will simply be the inspired, if you can call it that, or at least stimulated by the demagogues. And it's a horrific sight to see the mindlessness, the mindless reaction of the selfish devotees who have a great feeling of revenge and anger about their position in life and who respond in that way. It's frightening to see, because we realize that in earlier times, for instance, in Germany, there were millions such, and such was the state of the nation and the general weakness of the people who stood on principle, that the country was taken over by such people responding negatively to the lies propagated by the propagandists, and then really responding to the impression of the Black Lodge without knowing it, because they clothed their motives in such a false vision of nobility. As I said before, you know, I saw this kind of interview of the wife of Reinhard Heydrich, you know, just a mass murderer of extreme cruelty, along with Eichmann. And all she could see in all of his efforts was his nobility. You know, such was the twist, the perversion, the distortion of all that they did. In other words, in their view, you had to be cruel in order to be kind, in order to save the great race that Providence had deemed to be the ruler of all other races. You had to be apparently cruel to the inferior races, which would pollute the master race, and had already done so. And so a great resentment was whipped up in the German people. You know, if I look like this, if I act like this, it's because these inferior races have polluted the stream. And, you know, if they happen to believe in reincarnation, certainly the higher Nazis did. There was a whole occult substratum to what they did. And they did consult the negative Tibetan magicians. They went seeking for them, and the negative types worked through them very powerfully. So it was an occult attack. And it's fairly easy to be attacked by forces that one doesn't understand behind the scenes. I'm looking at the United States right now, and I see a very interesting thing, because the Gemini personality means that there will always be commentary and humor on everything that happens. The humorists are having a field day with what is going on here in the United States, the year 2019, and for the past couple of years. And there's constant discussion, constant debate, you know, as per Gemini, but the soul lies behind it all, and the great unifying Aquarian soul is to emerge. Unity in all this diversity and the melting pot is supposed to produce its amalgamations. So there'll be a lot of conflict, especially the debate of ideals, because the six-ray personality of the United States is associated with Mars, and Mars is in the sign of Gemini in the chart usually used for the United States. And, you know, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, it would be in Gemini. And there's a constant battle between polar positions. And we see that now. Maybe the country has never been more divided than it is now. I don't know. You know, as I say, I'm not a historian, but I see the tremendous division that is now occurring. And, you know, the dictum of Caesar, divide and conquer, rings in my ears, because I know that these forces want to neutralize the United States as an agent for good, especially since its rays and its signs have so much to do with the Christ himself and may prove to be the location, or the United States may prove to be the location which the Christ chooses to establish his headquarters, since the main United Nations headquarters is there. Think of it, you know, we're coming into the age of Aquarius, and the Christ will be the Bodhisattva for that age, a long time. The personality is Gemini, and the higher aspect of Gemini is considered to be the head of the cosmic Christ. Now let's go further. When DK gives the rays of the Christ, as it, you know, he basically is talking about, I suppose, the rays of the Maya Virupa, but it is the second ray soul, or let's call it the second ray triad, probably because there is a second ray monad. The spiritual ray is very much the second, and the personality ray, whatever that really means when you have a Maya Virupa, is the sixth. It's exactly the same rays as the United States, second ray soul, sixth ray personality. So it seems that the attack is on, particularly against the United States and the United Kingdom, both of which have the second ray soul. And the United States' rays and signs according with the Christ most, but there's the second ray soul of the United Kingdom, and there's it's a Gemini soul, and we can never forget how important the higher interpretation of Gemini is in relation to the Christ, the head of the cosmic Christ. There's a little more here, I think, before I have to decide whether to go on or to start something new. You know, when you do those five-hour programs, it can be pretty exhausting, and the hour creepeth on, you know. So to this task we are all called, those to whom he was writing, and to it there are many voices calling today. There are thousands who have dreamed the same dream, seen the same vision, believed in the divine possibilities latent in all human hearts, and who know, past all controversy, that selfishness and universal greed have brought the world to its present desperate plight. So, what are we called to, you know? How are we to make sure that the conflict raging between the dweller and the angel of humanity does not precipitate into a full-blown world war? These people who respond to this vision, though it was 80 years ago, well, there are people today who respond to this vision and know that the great separation between the rich and the poor, the very super rich and the very, very poor, should not be perpetuated. It's so unbrotherly, you know. Too bad for you, you know, you're You're stupid. You cannot make it, and I'm intelligent, and I can make it, and I don't care about you. You know, those attitudes are being spoken by what people are doing, even if they are not put in such harsh terms. So these people who see the same dream, dream the dream, they know also that selfless sharing and cooperative understanding between all men of goodwill everywhere can rebuild a new world, bring into being a more beautiful life, and restore that which humanity itself has destroyed. The best is yet to be. We can rest back upon the realization that the history of the human race has been one of a steady moving forward down the ages and towards the light. Excuse me. And here, someone who has been in a position to read the record of the history of humanity can say these optimistic things. There are times when optimism as a great source of joy absolutely must be employed. Must be employed. Because, you know, as we hear, I think in Agni Yoga especially, that joy is a special wisdom, and it is a joy to do the Master's work. And that is true. So here we are in years later than this was written, but joyfully we are workers with the hierarchy. It's a great source of joy for us. We can always improve, but we have a role to play. And though our role may be small, it's apparently small and localized in our particular environment, it can contribute to the overall elevation of humanity. It is not futile. And we do remember, you know, how if we work in that local environment, how forming a triangle for that work, or now participating in the great triangle work, which has taken over and become so very important as something that must go on, how that triangle work is supporting our efforts, supporting the inflowing of the soul into the human consciousness. So there's much to be joyful about, and we must cultivate this joy because it brings spiritual strength with it, and the recognition of spiritual strength as part of a virtuous circle increases the joy. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This will be a short program, and I'll see, because we are at another big subject, and he's writing quite a bit in 1943, and it's a time when hierarchy, with a great sense of relief, knew that the battle had been won. Yeah, well, there are just some marvelous things here, and the date went by, that the sun moving northward. But what we learn later in the writing is of the anxiety that the hierarchy experienced before the sun moved northward, and the uncertainty during the four preceding months. All that will be discussed maybe 100 pages ahead here somehow, and we'll get to that. There are 701 pages in this book. We have another 300 to go. 313 adds 60, so we have 373. So basically we're at the halfway point in presenting, or at least discussing, this series of articles and essays. And I'm sure that we're learning a lot about how the hierarchy can be extremely practical, as necessary, as well as very lofty in their considerations. So at 387, and we haven't so far to go. We'll bring it down here. It's a shorter program, and then I'll make a decision regarding whether there's any strength left to go further tonight. You know, it's so interesting watching the energy come and go. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. So, but then again, you know, if you really push yourself, you might get more done or you might collapse. So what is the choice? Anyway, this is the end here of number 38. It's going to be just 1 hour and about 6 minutes. One hour and 6 or 7 minutes. And we're going basically, it's a short one, from 383 to 387. And we'll begin program number 39. However long it lasts and whatever page it's on, and it will be from 387, speaking about an imminent spiritual event. Okay, friends, sometimes I never know whether it's going to be a long program, a short program. It just has to be what the time will allow, and my hope is that you're getting something out of this, and that you can use it for your individual study and you can use it for your group study. Okay, many blessings and lots of love, and we'll see you soon. See you soon. And we'll keep working together on these and other books as much as we can. And, I don't know if you'll get this far before the upcoming conference. I don't think so. But if you should be one of those eager beavers, please do attend the conference in person, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. And you'll put a lot into it, too, of course. Okay. Bye-bye.